A mom was heading home from church with her 9-year-old son in the back seat, and she said, "Joy, what did you learn today in Sunday school?" And he says, "Mom, it was a great story. It was about this guy called Moses. And he went in and he saved the Israelites from the Egyptians. You see, what happened is one night he snuck in behind enemy lines. And by the cover of darkness, he snuck out all the Israelites without the Egyptians knowing. The next day when they woke up, they decided this is a bad thing. So the Pharaoh ordered his army to go out after them. But Moses anticipated that. He had a set of engineers working on a bridge to go across the Red Sea. It was finished just in the nick of time as the Israelites got there. They crossed over the bridge on the other side, and just as Pharaoh's men were coming up on the bridge, he ordered an airstrike. They struck the bridge, destroyed it, and all the Egyptians were in the Red Sea." His mom said, "Joey, now is that really how the teacher told the story?" He said, "No, but if I told it the way he did, you'd never believe me." That's the book of Exodus. It's one miracle after another. God showing his mighty power over the Egyptians. I mean, it is the book of the Old Testament. It is the event of the Old Testament. Last week we left off that Moses was being convinced by God, unwillingly, to go back to Egypt to lead his people out. Well, eventually he agrees to do that. And so 7 times God says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And so he goes toe-to-toe with the Pharaoh, has several plagues. Finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, they've had enough. They said, "Go on, get out of here." So the Israelites, they not only leave Egypt, they plunder Egypt, taking with them gold and silver and precious metals, right? And they all march out triumphantly, heading towards the promised land, albeit a rather strange route that God put them on, but we'll get to that later. Well, no sooner had they left that Pharaoh kind of wakes up and says, "What have we done? This is economic ruin for our country. We have this large, cheap labor force, and they're gone. How are we going to replace them?" So being a good dictator like he was, he changed his mind, and he headed out after them. So he recapture them and bring them back. That's where we're at in Exodus chapter 14. Now, what is it that God wants us to learn from this? What God wants us to learn from this is sometimes you got to stop trying and you got to start trusting. So let's take a look at it. First of all, we have the dilemma. The dilemma for the Israelite people. They're really between a rock and a hard place. So here's the rock. That is verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Savan. You shall encamp it by facing the sea.'" Okay, this has to be one of the most challenging things God has ever asked his people to do. Think about it for a moment. They've left Egypt triumphantly. They've plundered Egypt. They've got a good head start under their belt, and they're heading towards the promised land, and God says, "Yeah, hold up, I want you to turn around and go back." You want us to do what? Turn around and go back? Everything is going so well. Things are going great. You want us to turn around, go back, and then on top of that, you want us to camp with the Red Sea behind us. So we've got no place to go. There's only one direction that we can go. God says, "Yeah, That's what I want you to do," right? That is so challenging to the people. They've got a rock, and then there's the hard place. And so if we go down to verse 6, "So Pharaoh, realizing his mistake, so he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Israel." So Pharaoh now says, "I'm going after him," and it says it took 600 chosen chariots. Right, so this is like the SEAL team of chariot drivers. This is the top of the top, right? And in the ancient world, a chariot, that's like a Black Hawk helicopter. That's like a stealth bomber. I mean, this is the ultimate weapon, right? I mean this is what wins wars, and the Egyptians are good at it. And he's got 600 of his best coming at them. And how many do the Israelites have? Zero. Zero. Is it any wonder that the Israelites are terrified that the Egyptians are coming at them? They even resort to sarcasm because they say to Moses, oh, so there wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here to die? They're between a rock and a hard place. There's no good solution. Egyptians are coming at them one way. The Red Sea is behind them the other way. There's nothing that they can do. Because it's time that they stopped trying and started trusting. We've all been there. We've been between a rock and a hard place. We've had our own dilemmas. Life is going well one moment, and then all of a sudden it goes south the next moment. Dreams are lost. Hope is gone. If there's one thing for sure in this life, it will not be a problem-free life. We all know that. We've all had situations where we've been faced with a situation that there's no good choice. Whether we go right or we go left, we go forward, we go backwards, there's no place for us to go. There's nothing more for us to do. Because maybe it's a time that we stopped trying and started trusting. So we've got the dilemma of the Israelites. Now we have the decree. Here's the decree from Moses. So Moses makes this decree to the people. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. To be silent. But Moses... the Egyptians, they're coming at us. We're like, shh, no. Just, it's going to be okay. Stay calm. Yeah, but they got chariots. They got 600 of them. We can see the dust in there. Shh, no. It's okay. Stay calm. Yeah, but we got the Red Sea behind us. There's no escape route. No. Just remain silent and be calm. Because God's going to fight for you. It's time for them to start trusting. See, God's decree is to stay calm. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that at all. I see a problem, I fix it. I figure it out. I come at it a different way. I think about it anew. I'll stay awake at night. I'm going to figure this out, and I'll keep trying and trying and trying and trying, because after all, what if, right? What if the treatment doesn't work? What if the job doesn't come through? What if he doesn't turn his life around? What if the insurance won't cover it? You can get lost in what ifs. Because some situations you just can't work yourself out of. There are no good solutions to them. And God says, just stay calm. He's going to fight for you. This past week, I read a story of a missionary in China. This is some 50 years back. Her name was Gladys, and she was running an orphanage there. And I don't remember this from history, but evidently Japan invaded China at some spot. Somebody, if you can enlighten me this afterwards, I didn't research it. But anyway, she was threatened, and so she had to leave. But she wasn't leaving her kids behind. So she took 100 of them. 100 kids in the orphanage, and she heads out. And after several days of traveling and really feeling like she's not making any progress at all, she's in utter despair, and she's lost all hope. And the story goes that one of the little girls came up to her and said, Miss Gladys, it's going to be okay. This is just like Moses and the Israelites up against the Red Sea, and God delivered them. It's going to be okay. And she mustered up a smile and said, honey, I'm not Moses. And the little girl said, of course not. But God is still God. God is still God. And God still fights for us. Sometimes we have to stop trying and we have to start trusting. Listen to the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Who keeps us calm? Who gives us the confidence? Who fights for us? Jesus says, I will give you rest. All right, so we've had the dilemma, we've had the decree, now we've got the deliverance. See, God's had a plan all along. The Israelites didn't know it, Moses didn't even know it. But God's had a plan all along. Nothing happened by accident. God put him on this meandering path through the wilderness so that Pharaoh would look at it and say, look, they're confused, that they're lost in the wilderness. And then God put them with their backs against the sea so that it would look like it would be easy pickings. What an easy target for Pharaoh and his army, right? Because it was. It was easy picking. There was no escape. So that lured the Pharaoh right in after them. And then God stepped in. And God fought for him. Moses raises his hand, the sea parts, the wind dries the land, all the Israelites cross over on dry land. They no sooner get to the other side. Here comes Pharaoh's army battling in, rushing in to the Red Sea. Moses raises his hands again, the water comes crashing down, and the Israelites never saw those Egyptians again, just like God had promised. Because God had a plan. Now, why would he do all that? Why all this elaborate setup? I think the answer is in verse 31. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. You see, God set up an opportunity where he would show his power and might over all of Egypt. But he would show that to his people in such a dramatic way that there was no other escape. There was no other way this was going to happen till God came in powerfully so that the people now would trust him and they would also trust Moses as their leader. This would be crucial for the days, the months, and the years ahead that the people would trust God implicitly and they would trust Moses as his chosen servant. God was teaching them, sometimes you got to stop trying and you got to start trusting. God has a plan. He has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. Things don't happen by accident. But like the Israelites, we're not privy to that plan. We don't know all the moving parts. We don't know the things that God is putting in place. We just know that we have a God who has proven himself again and again to be the strong and powerful God that we follow. A God that is so powerful that he raises his son from the dead. And through the blood of his very son, he washes away our captivity to sin. And then he paves the path to the promised land. Just at the moment that our backs are up against the sea, God steps in and fights for us. Because sometimes you have to stop trying and you got to start trusting. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Good and gracious God, it's really simple to say stop trying and to start trusting, but it is oh so hard to do. In fact, it's impossible without you. We need the gift of your Spirit, the gift of your courage and the confidence and the faith in you and in your Son, Jesus. Give us that faith so that we can trust in you implicitly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.